Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. The pain. Yeah, it's just so... So I just made a real, a video I was feeling really good about. This was a good video. And I didn't have the mic connected. And you're just like, fuck. Yeah, it's just so... So disappointing, especially, because I really didn't feel like making videos. I'm not in the mood, all this kind of stuff. Life is just such a pain in the ass, blah, blah, blah. And, just gone. All of it gone. It had lots of Santino stuff in it, good stuff in it. Oh, gone. So anyway, just this minor tragedy, okay. But it's just one of these, this constant, that this is what life is full of, is this, this constant, fuck, this happened, some new thing is happening, some new crap that has to be dealt with, and it's just, things fail, and things leak, and things break, and it just, So anyway, so now I have to do another hour of this, trying to reconstruct the perfect, really well, really, it's a nice balanced transition between the subjects. I did such a nice job, I thought, blah, 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 and now it's all just, there's no way I'm going to be able to match that performance. It's just, And now I'm going to think, did I already say that or didn't say that? Because now I'm going to not remember whether it was in this video or the last video or the unheard video. Well, anyway, so it's a rehashing of a video I did 5 years ago, six, where I took the phrases from the unintelligent design video, more friction than function. Really good phrase. I think I invented it. Okay, there's some other indication it's on some other web page somewhere, but anyway, I don't think so. Anyway, and then the concept of precious commodities controlled by crude forces. It's a really nice little piece of quotable crap defining this evolution, the natural circumstance. And so basically that was the theme in some respects, was just if you're a true rational thinker, you believe in evolution, you have to understand what it is, which is built upon a premise that you have, because of the replicating part, you have to kill the replicators, okay? You can't just keep making more and more copies because that won't work. The universe isn't big enough. Obviously, the planet isn't big enough. No environment could sustain something that just made copies and the copies got to all live. So it had to create destruction. It had to cull. And the argument is that nature's really dumb, unintelligent design, so it's chosen this insanely wasteful culling plan. Okay, which is just terrible. To create some tendency towards some definition of fitness that just has to do with, getting to the bitches first. Ergo the invention of the aggressive penis, it's just getting there first. Poke a hole in her, that's it really probably was that violent, a first rape, the first rape. But it's this insanely terribly horrific system. Like for human beings a couple hundred years ago, 10 kids dead for one kid that survives to maturity. For other organisms, 100 to 1. For other organisms, 1,000 to 1. For other organisms, 10,000 deaths. So you got to endure 10,000 deaths before you get to have sex. Just insanely inefficient. And so the very fact that you have to be killed is bad. I mean, it kind of ruins the fun of it. And the fact that nature's not going to do it gracefully, it's going to do it through this very negative deconstruction of you. It'll eat you alive, so to speak. It'll bite off pieces of you, age, for example. and turn you into lesser and lesser and lesser and more feeble and more weak and more... and slowly strangle you to death. That's almost too real. Sorry for the whole circumstance. Oh, for other people. I mean, it's just so bad. I mean, wince. I mean, your eyes have to wince at what goes on. And it's so bad. And you can't, have all this argument with people who can't even wince at, it doesn't happen. The mechanism doesn't work for them. So it doesn't matter if it's one individual or a million, because they just don't have the function, this thing called empathy, this thing to imagine, what if it was me? Apparently they can't do that, and therefore they can't wince, because they can't do the, what if it was happening to me? And I guess they'd say, well, that's narcissistic. If I think about what it would be like if I had to do that, that's exactly the opposite of narcissism. But anyway, so that was part of this conversation, was the context of some dopey article I read where they did some statistical survey and said that there's something called a triad disorder or something, whatever the fuck it was. It was dark triad personality traits. And that was Machiavellianism, narcissism, and psychopathy. so it's just so funny because, what's Machiavellian in the idea of veganism or empathy? I mean, there's just no way to find anything Machiavellian about it. I mean, nobody's trying to profit off of selling their mother into slavery or something. And clearly, it's the people having kids who are Machiavellian, and they're saying, I need the gratification. I need this unconditional love. They're the Machiavellians saying it's okay if one or two of them die. So it's just so ironic that I can't even think of a context where Machiavellianism could have anything to do with anything close to an anti-natalist philosophy. It's just insanely silly thing. And then the narcissism thing is the same way. I mean, you're saying, what's more narcissistic than these assholes who think, oh, the world needs more copies of me, even if they're only 50% me, needs more and more and more and more and more. They're the narcissists. They're the ones thinking they're good enough. They're worth it. Their kid will be so happy to be fat, short, and stupid. They'll really appreciate having, the micro penis. Yeah, they can't wait. No, fuck you. They could wait. They're the narcissists. I mean, again, it's just so silly. And then psychopathy, this isn't even a concept. So they could say negative utilitarianism. They could say risk aversion. They could use some word and then say that's psycho. It's psycho to be risk averse. It's psycho to be worried. Take anything seriously. That's being a psycho, but you have to have a real concept there. You can't just throw a word like that. You have to have a word like schizophrenic or some kind of real syndrome. You can't just say psycho. Psycho doesn't mean anything. That's not a technical term. It's stupid. But anyway, it's just so desperate that they're going to try to paint an empathetic philosophy as having some sub-motive that is in any way anything but admirable and decent. And obviously there's nothing not admirable and decent in all the, I would argue, if you want to call them levels of awareness. So you could say that vegans are aware in the sense that they're aware of human, exploitation of animals, but they seem completely oblivious to nature's exploitation, and they think it's somehow because it's nature and it's retarded, therefore it doesn't matter. We don't have to react to that, So if the retard is killing a million people, that's okay, but if he's a psychopathy, then we have to stop him. So it's just too stupid. No, you stop the retards too. Retarded systems are just as bad as human systems. Okay, a machine running amok is just as bad as a human running amok. They all need to be stopped. Anything running amok needs to be stopped. You know, it's just so fucking stupid. So I mean, they're good that they've gotten some kind of notion that humans aren't worth it relative to adding, so to speak, or endorsing their direct effect on nature. But obviously our exploitation of nature goes way beyond. Your exploitation of animals goes way beyond the slaughterhouse. It goes to the fact that the animals right now are creating the biosphere that you're feeding on. They're fertilizing the plants that you eat and all of the rest of it. So you can't escape a huge responsibility for a biosphere that's running amok, okay? That's culling the excess population in as ungraceful a manner as almost is possible. I mean, I sure you can probably imagine it even worse. You could always say times two, but it's bad in terms of being so far from preserving the dignity of the organisms getting ripped to pieces and getting infected and having maggots do this and all kinds of horrible adventures being experienced. Just an insane price. So that's what the video was sort of about. Yeah, so that's where it started. So it was really a commentary on, look, it's just, it really is the do not God thing. If you're a real atheist, you have to consider, okay, it's just physics, chemistry, biology. They're all mechanical functions. They're not driven by some, let's do something productive today. You know, they are just systems, and they don't have to be efficient, and there shouldn't be any expectation that they're efficient by default. There's no default that says, well, we won't just pointlessly torture. It will pointlessly torture. It will be unprofitable because it's not rationally defined. It's not, there's no rational standard regarding how much fuel goes in and how much product comes out. There's no obligation for any product to come out, and there's every indication it could consume all the fuel in the universe to produce absolutely nothing, and the mechanism would be, that would be just as likely a roll of the dice as the perfectly efficient outcome. So, there's nothing to defend. So if you really take evolution seriously, you have to recognize that it's an insidiously, you know, child molesting, murdering, horrible system. It's a run amok culling machine. And the brutality is beyond absorption or even description. It's so bad. Everything's killed, and a lot of it's killed really quickly. Yeah, I mean, really early in its adventure. So it's a bigger part of its adventure. It lives for 10 minutes and it spends 9 minutes dying. You get off a lot better than that. But a lot of your life is, you might as well be, you're sort of half dead in the sense that you're not winning and you're not dramatically losing. So I sort of use that as a point too, is that, you know, I feel better than I did at 4 o'clock the day before yesterday, but I feel worse than I did at 2 o'clock today. You know, it's just that kind of mushy mediocrity that most of our life is made out of, where yes, it's survivable, it's sufferable, but, fuck. Yeah, no, I wouldn't pay anything for this. I wouldn't even slide a dime across the table to redo this day. Fuck it. Yeah, not a good one. Nothing advanced in my existence. I certainly didn't feel good enough to say, oh yeah, what a great day. No, it wasn't a great day. And there's plenty of days where you'd pay big money to say, let's not even have that day, let alone doing it again. I'll pay you to undo it if I could. And then even on your best day, what are you going to pay? Yes, you can torture a rabbit so I can be happy today. I'm never going to say that. Yeah, I'm never going to be able to think it or believe it. Like, that would make sense. I can torture something so I can have a good day. No, that would be Machiavellian. That would be completely insane. So I just even can't imagine how somebody could be a empathetic viewer of evolution, a vegan, a antinatalist, ethicist, I mean, ethicist most specifically, and be in any way Machiavellian. You know, there's nothing in the philosophy that says I'm worth it. There's nothing in the philosophy that says the profit is worth it. The gain is worth the pain. It's exactly the opposite. The old homestead. Anyway, well, that's the neighbor to the old homestead. But it's my daisies. Big row of daisies. Anyway, yeah. And so that's, you know, this is one of the things that's just so funny about life is that it's just about the adventure and the fact that I will feel better if the flowers bloom and don't fall over and all that kind of crap. And I'll feel bad if the wind blows them over and they all look like shit. Little crap like that makes or breaks a day. Boy, that picture is so old. Because when I finally left, I mean, that little tree was 20 feet tall. Yeah, this is kind of funny. Anyway, not important. Just, you know. Oh, God, it's just such a, you know, adventure existence. In a very negative sense, that all this stuff you have to get over. So I brought up the point, what if, you know, we actually could remember the previous lives kind of thing. The idea of living more than one of the lives. So you get to live all of the, you know, you get to be your brother, your sister. You get to be all of the connected things that are going to happen, that are going to be part of the environment in which you succeed. You know, and if you had to, you know, live that horror of their failure and humiliation and destruction, you wouldn't wince. Your life wouldn't be tainted. And so it's already bad enough, I would argue, just absorbing the peripheral share of the stuff in your head you've seen, the tragic stories of the people, some people you just knew casually, some people you knew more intimately, and all that kind of stuff, and all of those sad stories of just their destruction, and how often it wasn't graceful and beautiful at all. And it was a horrible indignity to their hard work at being a good person their whole life and doing the right things and all that kind of crap and maturing into some kind of thing with real dignity, and to have it all stripped away. I don't see it. So first, I don't see how even your peripheral knowledge of the collateral damage that's paid for your existence, and then on top of that, to just recognize, what if, you know, you really could remember more than one lifetime of it, more than one, you know. So the only reason why this thing is even possible is that you're erased, okay? You show up, you know, with no context, and so you have to rebuild your adventure, the story with all of the failure in it and all of the tragedy. You have to reabsorb new tragedy, you know, to gain some reflection and some maturity. And we have to just keep doing that over and over again to finally come to some realization, as I did at 10 years old, that I'm not playing a good game, that this is not, you know, being alive is messy. And complicated, and I don't remember signing up for messy and complicated. No, thank you. Risky, you know, that's the other part. Really risky, and yeah, I don't want I don't want to play Risk. I just have no incentive to participate in some, you know, some, here's your horrible death. Fuck that. I don't really want one. And the idea is that, yeah, obviously you're surviving it, you know, because it's not tomorrow. But eventually it becomes, yeah, tomorrow's horrible death day, you know. Our horrible death year, our horrible death decade. Oh, man, wince. So, I mean, that's what's missing, you know. I say this stuff, and some people, yeah, they're wincing. Oh, yeah, ooh, yeah, ooh. God, my grandfather, oh, Jesus, what happened to you? Oh, man, my brother-in-law, ooh. You know. And the other people, the pro-lifers, are just like, well, what's the problem? It's the way it is. Isn't the way it is the way it is? And it's the way it is. Yeah, it's the best they can do. You know, but it doesn't even, it's not even, you know, not even a, ow. Ow. Not even close. They have no allergic reaction to the contemplation of extreme torture, as long as it's not them. And then they'll call somebody else Machiavellian and narcissistic. It's hilarious. Hilarious. The duplicity, you know, of these people. The critics. You know, the desperate critics who can't go anywhere near the target. Their obligation is to defend evolution, the process of creating sentient organisms for merely the purpose of replicating a DNA molecule in this insanely complicated way, just to replicate a molecule. I mean, there's nothing else to be accomplished. That's the only thing ever. That's the whole engine. And it does it through this cruelty of destroying everything it creates in some brutally nasty manner, with all probability. Very few get lucky. Oh, shit. Alright, so, towards the end of the other video that didn't successfully hatch, I was talking about the fact that they've, you know, the right to lifers, the anti-natalists, the pro-lifers, whatever, I've already lost, because there's only two possible future kind of things, right? I mean, clearly there's a connection between intelligence and lack of procreation. So intelligent people don't procreate sufficient to replace human population. And clearly there's no indication that even wealth, you know, makes you have more kids. It doesn't. Now, there's a few extreme examples like Musk or some other narcissist. But otherwise, yeah, so making babies is not something that people say, oh, yeah, this is the greatest adventure in life and I must do this thing. Okay, they just don't do it anymore. People don't go fishing like they did when I was a kid, right? There's things, the games people just don't play anymore. And this is where the games people don't play, okay? So it's for the rednecks. You know, rednecks go hunting. You know, people with a brain don't do it. You know, it's lost all of its charm, or whatever charm it had. And that's the truth of it, okay? Married with Children is an example of the sarcasm and the cynicism that exists around the whole subject of, like, this is your Rockwellian fun, is, you know, knitting your crocheting your rug, you know, in your rocking chair. No, thank you. Fuck that. So, you know, and it's, you know, you could argue it's vanity, a lot of things, so you can, you know, make some argument that some of the people who aren't doing it for the philosophical reason, who aren't anti-natalists philosophically, are the, you know, mercenary narcissists. And you sort of see some of that in the sense that it does seem to be a huge, just from my observations, a huge correlation between women being heavy and having kids. It's like, oh yeah, I've already given up on looking like anything, so I might as well. You know, where, you know, women still look like something, want to stay looking like something, and they're more against it. But that's just a personal observation, let's just say. Can't prove that with any statistics. Probably shouldn't say it then. But anyway, so there's things you could connect to having kids, which is stupidity and poverty, and, you know, and there are obvious correlations. More kids are produced. You know, high school education versus no high school education, huge difference in how many kids they have, just a fact. When you have your first kid, huge effect on how many kids you have. So we know the only way your future of human, sustained human population, it would depend on people being dumb, not smart, in the future. People being in poverty in the future. People, all these negative things have to exist in your future. So you don't win. And, you know, so, and that's where we're, you know, we're stuck in that condition. So you have to wish for a dumb future to preserve your notion of, you know, a great future for the human race. Is only going to be built out of a stupid future for the human race. An ignorant human race would be the only way to get there. Because even without the philosophical agenda, even without the philosophical motivation, they lack the motivation. You know, so you've lost the argument before the argument even started, which is the irony. And you think the argument is what's causing the effect, and it really isn't. It's just the reality you're selling sucks, and people know it sucks. They know it's a lie. Your silver lining bullshit is just that. Bullshit. There's not going to be any redemption. There's not going to be any utopia in your heavens. There's not going to be any function to your transhumanized blah blah blah, whatever you're going to do. You know, your robocopping, whatever your silly version of melding into a the mechanical system, you know, whatever you think you're going to be, little pieces of ether in the sky blinking. Whatever your singularity nonsense is, no one's buying it, okay? No one with a brain is buying it. And it's not a good enough religion to replace the old one, so they're not even adopting it. But anyway, so what, you know, it's just so funny that they're so desperate to defeat the philosophical argument when they can't get past the pragmatic argument they've already lost, where life isn't better with kids. Where being, you know, worried all the time isn't fun, and it's only sensible response, right? Are these intellectuals, you know, making their intellectual philosophical arguments, their professional philosophers, have they really thought it through and thought about what it really is to have a kid and be completely responsible for what's going to happen to it and be able to protected against the brutalities of life, you're going to somehow be able to do all of that. And if, you know, you take it at all seriously, that's not going to be a positive experience unless you're some sort of crazy narcissist. How could you possibly think you're up to the task, that you're going to be mindful of every possibility and everything, and you're going to somehow navigate through that process just fine, and you're not going to make any errors through selfishness or through unattentiveness that are going to cause any harm at all? And these are people going to label somebody else a narcissist. They think they have the capacity to protect against and eliminate all problems, because they're going to have happy babies and it's going to be fun. You know, it's just so fucking ridiculous that they would think they can defend this position, and especially then defend the real philosophical argument that really seals the deal. So the point is that by nature I didn't have any notion of raising kids being fun. I wanted to build things. I wanted to you know, there's lots of things I wanted to do, but changing diapers wasn't one of them. And, you know, worrying about, you know, what kind of scumbag my daughter's going out with, I didn't want that worry either. none of it. I just couldn't imagine what the fuck was going to be fun about having kids. And then, you know, philosophically, I realized, oh, yeah, and there's all kinds of risk and harm can happen. What if they get cancer? What if this happens? How do I live with that? How do I not squint so hard that my eyeball, you know, pops into my fucking skull and I die? I mean, how do I live with that pain of that failure, you know, of killing a kid, your own kid, with your love, you know? Amazing. you know, so you're selling shit and you're so desperate to, you know, and it just, and what is that all about? Where is that coming from? Why are you so desperate to defend the cruelty of nature, the preposterous silliness of our adventuring here on Earth, you know, and the silly stuff that makes us happy, you know, our little wine and our grapes are perfectly organized. Oh, I've got them placed personally on the mantle. It's all so pretty. Yeah, what the fuck? You know, we live for silly little shit. You know, just little circumstances where we can possibly arrange nature. Or we paint something, you know, like that clock. I painted that clock years ago. Pretty good, I'd say. So we could feel, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. It's a pretty good version of the thing. Yeah, looks like it. I like it. You know, so you can feel good for 10 minutes, you know, because you accomplished some task, you fixed something, you know, you took, you know, scattered nothing and turned it into something, or you composed a philosophical idea. It's a lot like composing a painting or something. You know, you could feel good that, oh, I made that argument to, you know, precious commodities controlled by crude forces. Ooh, I said that. Ooh, pretty cool. you know, little things like that. And that's, you know, and you're going to torture something for this? You're going to torture something so you can feel good about some stupid little minor thing you accomplished, you know. You put on a dress that makes you look 20 pounds lighter. Yeah, oh, okay. Torture something for that. Yes, just take a little rabbit and, you know, squeeze it to death. You know, because you're worth it. Your little feelings are worth it. You know, too ridiculous. How does an atheist defend this system of carnage? Just brutal carnage. Most of the time, you know, slaughtering brutally juvenile organisms. That's a funny juvenile picture. Anyway, that was trailer day, so, you know, that's when we got our trailer and somebody wanted to take a picture and I happened to be around. Go get in the picture. You know, too silly. Anyway, it was really, yeah. Even then I didn't, you know, it's like, well, whatever. I don't remember ever, you know, I never really had, you know, a proper uniform to wear, I guess I could say. I was always dressed in some kind of crap that was just laying around. But anyway, where was I? Yeah, so it's, you know, so there's no way to defend nature. There's no way to defend the natural system and this idiotic idea of replicating a molecule for no accomplishment to end up creating this whole system of competition that has the brutal reality of a lot of deserve will not have anything to do with it, and it'll be just a bunch of slaughter and rape and mayhem. And to create something, okay, that is as psychotic as it can get in terms of it's just all kinds of poor, selfish motivations. It doesn't have built into it, I must be a good thing. I must have good written on my tombstone. I think I brought that up in the previous video that, didn't make it, didn't hatch, that was killed in its, you know, early maturation. You know, I had been given the slogan as a kid by my mother, life's an adventure, not a journey. And my brain immediately just said, that's backwards. It's a journey, not a destination. I mean, it's a destination, not a journey. The destination is, it's got to say good on your fucking tombstone. You've got to manage to get through this thing, making a profit, not being a loser. The destination is victory. I mean, the destination, it's like a war. You're fighting it. The destination is you got to win, you know. So anyway, and you know, and the winning will be defined by how much losses there are, how much collateral damage there was. Did you really win anything? Or was the price way too high? So you could argue that in hindsight, every war has been way too more expensive than anybody thought it was going to be. And if they knew the price going in, they probably would have just said, let's all just blow our brains out, because what's going to happen over the next 5 years is going to be so bad that we're not worth it. It's not worth surviving at this price. And if there were people who were honest, that's what they would acknowledge. Your survival's not worth the price. The horrible, slow, torturous, awful experiences imposed are not worth the silly, trivial, almost ridiculous things that please us. You know, make you feel a little bit better. You know, it's all quite marginal. And the only real bliss you get, a warm bath, you know, a sneeze, you know, sometimes sex. And that's it. And, you know, and the rest of it's just toil and turmoil. And if you're at all serious, you know, you got to do a lot of wincing and, you know, get past that. A lot of remembering. Ouch. Re-experiencing. And if you're going to live an honest life, if you're going to get to the where good rather than deceptive, duplicitous hypocrite, if that's what you want written on your tombstone, lying scum, you know, cheating fucker, you know, that's what most of the critics are, cheating fuckers. They're just petty people. You know, they have their own petty resentments, and they are blaming these niche things as somehow that's the reason why I have a micropenis. No, I'm not the reason why you have a micropenis. I didn't cause it. Okay, so you're picking the wrong target, fucker. And the irony is the right target is the very thing they're, you know, sacrificing others to, the totem pole of bullshit. And that's all they have is totem poles of bullshit. They just have bullshit stories about some, you know, I don't know, some mystical notion of accomplishment, but they can't give me an actual description of the accomplishment. I'm happy, therefore it's worth it. Torture things to make me happy. That makes sense to me. Well, it can't make any sense to me. I can't see how you could possibly, I can't even imagine my best day. So I'm going to get to relive my best day tomorrow. And the deal is, you're going to squeeze a rabbit to death. Yeah. No, I'm not taking it. I don't want it. Okay, leave the fucking rabbit alone. It's not worth it. And this and the scale at which we're torturing is so much worse than that. You know, every minute of our lives is hundreds or thousands of creatures have to be consumed brutally by the biosphere. A little dead bird. Just gross. And I'm worth it. My experiences are worth it. I'm such an interesting character. The universe can't do without me being here because I'm just such an interesting character. I have such interesting thoughts and, you know, rubbing the hiney of my nephew and such. I'm pro-life. I hate this planet, really. Just hate it here. Yuck. Yuck. Alright, just thinking about some of the arguments from the previous video and which ones are missing from this one and whatever. It's just kind of irritating, but you really can't remember all. Anyway, so one thing I did talk about was just this analogy where you could just say, what if, you know, you could create some kind of machine where, you know, as I made, you know, I made just some feeling thing, and I made one thing feel better, and then the other thing would feel worse for every bit the one thing felt better. And would there be any point to that, right? That, you know, you're gaining something, but you're losing something. You gain, you know, it's just kind of a, why would you do that? Because you can't win. There's no profit in it, okay? And the real argument is that, no, now you have to, every time there's a gain over here, there's 100 things that lose over here. You know, that it's 1,000 things or 1,000,000 things. And that gets so much realer in terms of recognizing that, well, that's certainly not a viable, you know, making no profit is one thing. Making a loss is just obviously stupid. And I just don't see how anybody could make evolution into anything but a completely negative system, in the sense that it clearly kills more versions of the machine before they get to accomplish this task, you know, of reproducing, let alone, and then there's slow decline and death. But there's an awful lot of that, you know, degrade and destroy that's paid for every minute of the adventuring, where you're still in the game. Surviving isn't free. It's a, you know, simple enough argument. So anyway, so that was in there. There was a bunch of, there was a little bit of Santino stuff where I talked about the fact that, you know, the cat survived, you know, more, it certainly had its 9 lives. And they're all winceable adventures, you know, where, you know, it's just such a worry and a concern. You know, I mean, one point it was, you know, it spent almost a year dying. And, you know, lost all its fur, just, you know, terrible. It wouldn't sleep in the house. I had to build a house for it outside and put a hot plate in it and all that, you know. And it would still eat, okay, and slept all day and just eat and sleep. And that's all it did for a year. And then all of a sudden, spring day, it started growing fur and it's just turned back into a cat again. But it had lost one of its fangs, you know, because of its... Probably it's just, it was so anemic and, you know, physically weak. But anyway, and so, but yeah, so you spent all these days worrying about the cat, you know. Then another time, I remember it was really sick and it, you know, just had a unpleasant vomit and it started wailing, you know, just a, you know, that really deep, you know, and just really... It never did anything like that, ever. It was just such a cry for help, a cry to fix it, a cry to the universe to help, you know. And it was, you know, you wince, you know, this is bad. You know, I just don't know how you assholes are, you fucker. I mean, how you pieces of gar... I mean, how you... pro-lifers, you life lovers, you people are just so special people. I just don't know how the fuck, you know, do you take that in the face, that reality, and turn it into I'm worth it? How the fuck do you do that and then call somebody else mercenary or Methuselastic or you know, Mesotopian, or some other stupid goddamn name? How the fuck do you do that? Yeah. Without your face falling off. I mean, you're such fakes. You're such reptilians, you know, pretending, you know, to have some kind of humanity when you're the worst of the worst in terms of the scheme that must be running in your head that there's some profit, you know, to your insane distortion of reality. The crap you're selling, to call something else a cult, you know, when you're selling such bullshit, such disgusting snake, it's rats and snake oil. You know, you're just maggot oil. You're just disgusting. So there's no rational atheist counter argument to nature's too fucking cruel. There's no counter argument that makes any sense. It's too fucking cruel. It just is. You can't be endorsed. If a human came up with it, it would fail. You know, you wouldn't get your environmental impact statement approved. They'd say, fuck you, too stupid. You can't do that. You can't invent that. Too goddamn stupid. Too goddamn stupid. I mean, it's just fucking stupid. Goddamn, I'm saying. That's how this stupid religion is woven itself into everything as a stupid tradition. I mean, you know, to defend even that, you know, this idea that that wasn't even just such a colossal failure of our intelligence, is that humans could fall for this crap. So they'll fall for anything, you know. And it's just so stupid. And so that's what you have to wish on the future, is really, really stupid, because only the really, really stupid are going to defend really, really, really bad cruelty. You know, really nasty, cruel, brutal harm. You have to be a sicko, okay, to defend that. Because you think you're worth it. Fuck. Yeah, anyway, so... I didn't think it would be a because you think it you're worth it video, but that's really what it comes down to. And it's a completely irrational, narcissistic, insane perspective to think you're worth torture. That you think you can play your game, okay, and create a huge loss, and it's okay. Because it happened to them. I tortured my kids, so who cares? I didn't have to experience it. They did. It's just because they don't, there doesn't, there's no mechanism that causes them the wince, the pain. They don't feel the vibration created. The bomb goes off and it's all silent. And so they just, oh, nothing happened. So yeah, something did happen. You're just insensitive to it. By definition, that makes you maniacal. And you're just machines run amok. Stupid, ignorant, dumb machines running mucks. Procreative mucks. Terrible. Horrible. Awful. All right, so, in summary, the point I wanted to get to that I really didn't in either video, frankly, was that, you know, why contrive these arguments against something so obviously true, okay? The fact that nature is not very efficient in its function, okay, that it's more friction than function, it's just a fact that, you know, there's no graceful culling. It's very ungraceful culling. Which reminds me, you know, I actually spent videos talking about how to, you know, how exactly we could do this culling thing and be more humane in doing it. You know, you don't have to shoot deer. You can find other ways to kill them if there's too many. And I came up with the whole idea that a guillotine really isn't that bad. I mean, the only part that's bad for humans is just the idea of what their brain does to the process in terms of ooh, it's gross, and ooh, I'm going to be dead, and ooh, ooh, ooh. So there's plenty for us to fear. But as a process of becoming dead, it's just about as good as you can get. I mean, your blood pressure instantly disappears, what pretty much makes you instantly unconscious. So your brain just can't function without blood pressure. Just can't do it. Just it's done. And so it's you know, it's a very quick transition to non-existence. And so you know, it's you can make a like I said, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say for sure all of those things are true, what they know about brains and how they function. But I'm just saying, it's, I think there's a huge correlation between consciousness, okay, and, you know, fainting, for example, and blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. So it's an easy correlation to draw that you will be unconscious if you have no blood pressure. Getting shot through the heart kind of thing. These things, you know, kill you quickly. But anyway. So, yeah, you could just make boxes, you know, that deer can put their head in, and it guillotines them. And, you know, it would be quick, and they wouldn't be running around with arrows sticking out of their ass or some other kind of bullshit. You know, half dead, not completely killed. And that would be more graceful. Now, if just having that conversation is somehow taboo or broken, you know, you can't possibly have a conversation about what are best ways to impose death, you know, when frankly it's necessary if you want to do anything good. I mean, you know, again, you can't play the game if you don't play by the rules. And the rules are, yeah, the deer can't keep populating, the rats can't keep populating, things can't keep populating without destroying environments and, you know, ruining the life for other organisms, and, you know, mostly humans in this case. But yeah, it's just a fact. And their life for the organisms themselves. I mean, the overpopulated organism, besides destroying the rest of the biosphere, they end up destroying their own, you know, population, ends up becoming lemming-like and goes on, you know, goes crazy by just overcrowding, or, you know, all of the attrition of disease and whatever that's made worse because of the overpopulation. So anyway, I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. So anyway, so it's just a simple enough conversation. And, you know, to sit there and say that these ideas are fun, no, they're okay. If that's your accusation, your philosophy isn't fun enough, therefore it must be banned, you know, censored, because it makes people unhappy. Whoa, so what? Yeah, so if there's any truth that makes somebody unhappy, it can't be spoken. That's really, you know, it pretty much is that silly, their argument. Obviously, people who are depressed commit suicide. People who are depressed do other stupid things. That happens. And so anything that depresses people is now verboten. You can't do that. When, frankly, how could you be a serious thinker and think that there aren't going to be facts that are going to be unpleasant to absorb and accept? That's life. And it's just one of the truths that they're just almost in denial of, in the sense of pretending it's not true when it's fucking true. So, yeah, so all of the, you know, this, you just do wonder, what's that argument really all about, and why is there even an argument? There should just be a conversation about how bad nature is. You know, is it really, 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 really horrible, or just really, really, really horrible? But the horrible part's got to be acknowledged, that all this deconstruction of the creations, is the price we pay, is the negative that happens. It's a real negative being deconstructed. And being deconstructed ungracefully is bad. Okay. I mean, I really shouldn't have to even say these words. And just acknowledge that. And then try to figure out if there really is anything good enough you're doing, anything good enough humanity can do to ever compensate for the weight of that bad. And the simple argument is not even close. What are you, silly? What the fuck are you thinking? I felt good. I was driving my car and that sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, boop, 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 song came on and made me so happy. That's worth torturing something for? That's worth the bug that flew into your radiator? No, it's not worth anything. It's not worth any price paid. No. All right, so I guess that's... That simple statement is Methuselistic. What's that? I have to go find the silly terminology they use for the triad of, you know, whatever, bad psychology or bad, you're not allowed to think that way. Methuselism. Yeah, narcissism and psychopathy. I mean, it's just... it's a Methuselistic to be empathetic and recognize you're not worth torturing something for. No, it's not. That's not the definition of being Methuselistic. Anyway. And even if it was, then it's a good thing. it's good to be Methuselistic. But I mean, the narcissism part is just so funny. The people insisting that their genetic code must get into the future are calling somebody else narcissistic. I mean, it's just so ridiculously ironic. All right, anyway, so enough of a video. So... anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. And I wish the other hour was a real video, but you'll have to take this less than good version and such. Yeah, just imagine it was a little bit better than it actually is. And then you will imagine what the other video was, and then you could experience the other video in your mind. Yeah. All right. Anyway, next time. Yes. Such blah, blah, blah. Goodbye. Fuck you. Happy trails. Whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck.